It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening again, once again, to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM. Got a lot to talk about tonight. Got a lot of things going on in the state. KHSA Border Control meeting today. Had some information for about winter sports and other sports as well. We've had some changes to be made in our broadcast schedule for this week. We'll talk about that in a minute. We've had a huge hit in our COVID numbers this week and last week, being the highest couple of weeks we've had so far, and also some announcements about, I guess we'll make some announcements here about school as well here in the county. So we've got a lot to talk about tonight. We'll kind of do it in sections, but at first we'll always give you our COVID update numbers for the state and locally.
Yeah, and let's not forget about this either. We have Powell County High School football coach Mike Jones that's going to be joining us as well, talking about the Powell County Pirates, their football season, and what it's looking like for the rest of rest of this week for that matter. But let's get to COVID update here first. In the state of Kentucky, there are 2,753 new cases. It is a 9.13% positivity rate, 15 new deaths that actually occurred in the state of Kentucky. When you look at overall numbers, there have been over nearly 2.5 million total tests that have been taken, I guess, in a sense. 144,753 have been positive. There's been 1,712 total deaths in Kentucky. 25,000 have recovered, which is interesting because when you go and you look at the numbers, people are still not fully recovered, I guess, in a sense, and still have potentially a carrying the virus, in a sense, as far as those that are completely recovered. Here in Powell County, we've not seen any numbers like this, you know, since the very beginning when we first started this. I can remember when there was one case.
It
seemed like forever.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, for a long time. So, obviously, over the last little bit, things have gotten a lot worse here in Powell County. 14 new cases of COVID-19 today. Seven individuals met the criteria for recovery. The total case count for Powell County from the beginning, going all the way back to March, 357 total cases. 223 have recovered, but this is the number that's kind of the shocker to me, in a sense, is that there are 134 active cases here in the county. And again, David, when you look at those numbers, we've seen some small increments, but here over the last couple of weeks, things have definitely exponentially grown.
I think last week we had an uptick. We had this show on Wednesday. I don't even want to guess the numbers within the last week, because this is the largest week of growth that we've had. And even since last Wednesday was probably the highest week we had prior to this week. This week dwarfs last week's total numbers here in the county. And that's why you see the 130 some active cases mark, is because we've had a really bad run here lately. All the folks, I guess some folks were infected at the nursing home. And the trend always is, if it gets into your nursing home, it gets out in your community through the staff. And there's also staff members who are infected with COVID, from the facility. You know, I don't know who those folks are. I'm not giving that any way confidential information, but, you know, once it gets in a place that is a confined area, and they're saying it's actually confined in the nursing home, from what I understand. But once it gets in that confined area, we've talked a lot about the ventilation systems. You kind of worry about what gets through the ventilation systems. When you listen to Governor Beshear talk about it today, and we'll talk about some of the mandates, not recommendations this time, but some of the mandates he's put out today. We'll talk about that at a later portion of the show. But with some of the things that were out today, it goes back to, one of those men like school closures and how many staff and students have been quarantined or have the virus, and that's on the dashboard. I was shocked because I didn't think it was that bad. Now, I'm not saying there's cases happening in the schools, but there are cases that are in the schools probably because of extra things going on in their lives. Those people made choices that or may not have even known and were aware of that what they were doing was putting them at risk. And this is how the virus grows at an exponential rate. And we are at that point here in our community. We're at that point in the state of Kentucky. And when you look at national numbers, Kentucky is still doing reasonably well. That's a scary thought. As bad as we see it here in Kentucky right now, we're still not in a good place, but we're one of the better ones. And that's a scary thought. As well as we handled it early, people are really let down their guard. And you hear a lot of people say, well, it doesn't really kill a lot of people, so we'll take our chances. And the problem with that, and I think they had one of their first youth deaths in Kentucky today, a 15-year-old was on that list today. Don't know if what the other issues were, but when you start losing 15-year-olds, and I think there was a 32-year-old on the list, a 42-year-old on the list, folks, that's those three numbers are all younger than me and Ken. So when you hear those kinds of people that are dying, it's no longer just the elderly. And one elderly person to lose is too many, but we're losing hundreds of folks. And now our healthcare system's kind of getting overwhelmed, and that's the problem. And now you're going to have to choose kind of care on which patient gets what. Those are things that I don't want any physician to have to choose.
No, I think you're exactly right. And what's interesting, too, is that about the time, I'm not saying that there's a correlation, but about the time that everyone was heading back to school, that's really when the numbers that August, September, October was obviously a terrible month in Kentucky as far as the number of cases. November obviously set to exceed that October number. I think we're already about where we were finishing October. We're pretty close to those numbers in a sense already. We're still, 10 days or whatever we even have left to go in this month. But just realizing that it's just been that gradual uptick. Now, what's the cause of that? Could it be, okay, we've reduced some of those restrictions in restaurants. Now all of a sudden you're allowing people to be at games, even though it was kind of small crowds, you're still allowing people to be at the games. People obviously, with whether it's the grocery stores or any other store for that matter, people kind of coming and going. I think they've done a pretty good job around here as far as having people to mask up, but there's also, I've been in places where it's like, if you don't want to wear it, you don't have to wear it, and therefore people take liberty in order to not do that without realizing, again, we're doing it for each other. It's when you're not, that's the part of the problem. And I'll share this real quick, too, is that I watched a gentleman with a video. He lived in Montana. It's like the temperature was like, minus 30 degrees. So he goes outside and he breathes. And, during the winter, right, we can see the mist and all of that stuff. He said that still exists, even though we can't see that. So when you see all that mist, when you're talking,
that's regularly.
Regularly. We can't see it, but yet that's still what happens. So therefore, now you take COVID into consideration and you're breathing. And under those circumstances, with or without the mask, it still gets out. Then enough studies, in a sense, to know, yes, certain ones aren't as effective as the other mask, the gaiters being one on the lower spectrum, in a sense, and obviously the N95s being on the high end. So as far as being able to stop that, but realizing that if we're not doing those things, we're still creating more of a risk. Therefore, wear those masks, sanitize, keep your social distancing, and therefore things should clear themselves up better than what they are now.
We went into an 11-week run in Kentucky where we were on a plateau. I thought the numbers were increasing, and you did too, but we were kind of leveled out. We've been on a spike now for about almost a month, and pretty tremendous spike. It's more of a third wave. This is the biggest wave we've seen. It's caused more of a problem and will be more of a problem as we see people likely die. The more numbers you have, obviously the death rate, not the death rate, but the number of deaths you have will also increase. That being said, it's a sad time. So, again, we got Coach Mike Jones kind of waiting on us, I believe. But I will say this before we go to our break. One of our sponsors, I talked to Charlie Johnson at Toyota South the other day, and one of his employees just lost their father to COVID, and they were in a long-term health facility, and there was no visitation, and it was really sad. And they were having the funeral, I think it was 2 days ago when I talked to him. But those are the things that you just really, when you hear about it, it's just so sad. And again, I'd like to thank the sponsorship of Toyota South, the folks over there. But again, that's how close, you know, some of our sponsors may have issues like that. And again, since they're helping us out, we'll don't care about to help them out again. But again, send our thoughts and prayers out to that that group, because I know they're struggling. That's really hard to think about. So that being said, we'll take a break here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Be back in a moment here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
If you haven't driven the new Ram truck, you haven't driven one of the most exciting, powerful trucks in the country. During Ram Power Days going on now at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton, the best deals of the year are in full force with 0% financing available and rebates up to $10,000 on new Ram trucks. From one of the best riding trucks in the 1500 series to the workhorse Cummins diesel, they are all on sale and priced to move. If you're talking about a new truck and you haven't looked at the Ram, you don't know what you're overlooking. Great deals and a great place to buy at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton. Call them at 606-663-2856.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like PhoneSmart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. And as always, Appalachian Wireless has the most unbelievable sale. Appalachian Wireless has made shopping for the holidays safe and more accommodating to meet the needs of our customers. The one-day sale of years past is now a rest-of-the-year sale. Simply visit one of our 27 retail locations and get what you need through the end of the year. Or reserve online to make an appointment for the phone you want, and we'll call you when it's ready. Happy holidays. We are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on-site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a Level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin.
Welcome back, folks, here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. And we hope to be joined by Coach Jones, and right now we can't get hold of him. So hopefully in a few minutes we'll have him on the air here with us. So we will go on with the some of the COVID updates that the governor laid out today, and you know, locally here, your schools will be affected. They are no in-person school for high school and middle school until January 4th. There are no elementary schools until December 7th, unless we are still a red county, and if we're still red, that will be pushed back as well. So I'm sure you'll hear an announcement through Dr. Orr or his staff on the school issues, but we do know now that it's all public and private schools will be closed starting Monday, next week, starting Monday, until, again, we'll be remote learning through January 4th at the high school and middle school, and through December 7th at the elementary school. So that was one of the updates from the governor today, and others were dining and bars, or restaurants and bars. There is a no in-person services at restaurants and bars. It is only takeout or outdoor dining, but must follow strict guidelines.
Correct. And on that one, that is so indoor dining will be closed starting Friday,
yes,
November the
Friday.
20th through December the 13th. And then even with that being said, that will be, as you said, no indoor dining, delivery to go, outdoor dining allowed. So when you stop and really think about that, though, as far as that time period of no in-person, you know, that's a little rough in a sense as far as being, you know, indoors, as far as allowing people to come in and eat for that, you know, inside a restaurant. So that's obviously going to affect numerous businesses, especially people like your servers.
Correct.
Not that under the circumstances people won't come outside, but you know as well as I do, it's getting pretty cold. Not that the temperature's not going to go up in a sense, but, you know, that's going to be a little rough on people.
Even if you have servers in outdoor areas, you're going to limit your amount of servers that you do have. Also, your table bussers, your cleaning staff, unless you have the outdoor open. If you're not indoor, you don't have any much cleaning going on because it's all going out in styrofoam containers or whatever they are. So people will just have to kind of figure this out, and I think probably it got a little lax. I didn't visit a lot of restaurants during this, maybe two or three. But honestly, when I talk about going into a restaurant, and the ones I went into, I went into a couple in Bowling Green and one in Lexington within the last, you know, 2 months, and were probably over what the capacity should have been. That more is the problem than a restaurant being open. Is restaurants are open, but are kind of not really abiding by the protocol and limiting to 50% capacity or whatever that number was. So I think when we see these things, people kind of let it lax, and when they do, we have issues. Retails are not affected as of yet, but they are asked to have strict enforcement of the mask guidelines. So retail stores are, again, not affected, but they will be, again, asked to re-up on their mask guidelines and of their issuance and the reinforcement of that. Gyms in our area would be basically gym, pools,
fitness centers
will not be closed, but will be limited to capacity. 33%, I believe, is the
correct
number that was given.
No group classes.
No group classes. And
Masks are required.
So I think, you know, even if we're talking about some of our establishment here in the county, I don't think there's ever really more than 33% in the building at a time. So if you space out and you do things the right way and you got the cleanser, which I think we do here, that's going to be take care of itself. That being said, it's still going to be impacted somewhat. And you said the main thing, and Governor Beshear mentioned, you know, like cheer gyms or what was it, the other one? I guess karate.
Gymnastics, karate, those types of.
Those things, I guess he didn't use the word karate, but anyway, martial arts studios, the no groups. Only individual instruction and must follow strict protocol. Masking is part of that. So, really, when you look at the guidelines that were out today, if we had looked at these guidelines a year ago, wow, this is it's horrible. But in retrospect to what we did in the spring, there's really no closures. It's more
limits
on the availability. So you can still eat at a restaurant but getting takeout. You can still eat at a restaurant outdoor if they offer. Fast food restaurants are really not affected at all because they really didn't have in-person dining anyway. That being said, there will be an effect, but I think it will be less of an effect as it was in the spring. However, like you said, it is about a three-week period. But again, you got the Thanksgiving holidays in the middle of this, and we're kind of be restricted at home too, and that's one of the restrictions we'll talk about in a minute. We do have a caller. It is Mike Jones. We'll go ahead and take that call and be with him in just a second here.
While he's mentioning that, obviously, if you're a business owner, you know, that's something that affects that. Wrong button there, David.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Mike Jones, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Perfect. We appreciate you calling us back.
Yeah, I was in a meeting with the boys, kind of talking to them.
All right, so obviously under the circumstances, we've not mentioned anything as far as what's taking place really with sports. So tell us as far as what kind of took place today and where we stand as far as football going forward.
Well, we have opted to not participate in the playoffs. There's a lot of reasons there with the rise in the cases in Powell County. And we've been very lucky with it. Injuries has really affected us, and I'm talking about season-ending injuries, spinal injuries, collarbones, femurs, you know, just every bad injury you could think of. So, and then we've gotten to the point where parents are kind of holding kids out. So, and I can't blame them, really, the way things are. So, you know, we didn't feel like we had enough really to go over and be competitive, so we opted out.
Well, I guess if it makes you feel any better, I'll put it to you this way. Taking a group of kids over there who aren't ready to play and getting those kids maybe hurt in a game where you may be overmatched because of what you just said, that's probably a blessing versus anything else that you've had, because you went through a lot this season, and we personally know that as broadcasters. We've seen it all happen in front of us. If you break your season down by quarters, first part of the season was exceptional. Then you start having the injuries really kind of pile up on you, and then the second quarter was a little bit rough. Wasn't as bad as the last couple of weeks. How do you kind of put the whole season in perspective if you broke it down by parts?
Well, like I told Coach Spencer today, I said in the beginning, you know, we're pretty excited about things, and then the injuries hit us. Heck, I think it was game three.
Yeah.
And we lost two running backs. Both of them was averaging over 10 yards a carry. And also those kids in the style of defense we were playing could lock down, play man-to-man. Very athletic kid, so you know it started right there, and continued to get worse. We had lost Luke Hood against Breath, that he broke his femur.
Right.
And very good lineman. We lost Ty DeFlippo in the Prestonsburg game. A very good lineman. So it's just sporadically through there. Last week we lost a very good lineman. Actually, we lost two linemen for the rest of the season. So,
your line was really decimated this season as far as injuries and season injury ending injuries. And you had a couple of, I think, severe knee injuries and the femur, the fractured vertebrae, I think, was one of your linemen. Those two of those injuries were last week, right?
Yes. And we've had two of those fractured vertebrae deals. We had a young kid, Van Ginner's younger brother, did something to his spine or vertebrae.
Wow.
So I've got a big list of these, and it's just insane, you know. And I felt like I needed to make a list just to, in case this time ever came. So,
but how much do you contribute to in really any of the injuries that you saw? And again, these are injuries that are going to happen during playing football, but you've had over your expected limits. How much or any do you contribute to a lack of a preseason?
Oh, I would say, who knows, but at least 80%, I would say, was preventable. You just don't know, but, you know, weights strengthens those ligaments and tendons and things like that. So I know you have to be in condition to play this game, and I don't think we was, and it hit us pretty hard.
Yeah, we had actually had a shutdown here in Powell County before we were able to open up, which really kind of restricted Powell County as far as early practices. So you guys were kind of hit with a double whammy, if you will, on your preseason conditioning. But again, I always tell people with football, probably the most important part of your season is maybe the spring. And you don't play in the spring. You know, that's when you condition for the fall, is spring part. And that's basically getting bigger and stronger in the gym and then working through the summer.
It's a huge deal, especially the style of play that we do. And, you know, that might have been that 20%, but, you know, I said 80% condition and 20% the way we play. I mean, you just got to be in condition. And the way we play offense, you know, it's a war on every play. We're not playing out in space. And so, you know, it's been a tough one. I talked to other coaches, and, you know, they're having the same problems, but not like this.
Yeah, I don't think I've witnessed a season that was this drastic on injuries. And then you had several kids leave the program for whatever the reasons were. A lot of them younger, but like you said, the two, the twins that you lost there at one time. But you've had a lot of people that left the program for whatever the reasons are. And I think a lot of it was concerned over their health and COVID. And again, you don't want to really put a younger kid up against a 325-pound junior or senior. That's kind of a little tough mismatch as well.
Yes, and going into this, I thought Fleming County was the most physical team we played, even more physical than Breathitt. So, you know, we knew that. And then we started looking out here. We had about less than 20 kids, you know, and having to take freshman, sophomore linemen over there. You know, you have to really ask yourself, is it worth it? Between the COVID and the injuries, and you're trying to build something here, let's not let it creep into next season.
I 100% back your all's decision, whether it was just your all's decision or the district, whatever it was. I can 100% back your decision, because I know exactly where you're coming from. And to me, there's more important things than playing a district playoff game when you know you're outmatched, outmanned on paper. Also, when you look at the district breakdown, Mason County, the number two seed, played Fleming within 2 points, also has opted out of the playoffs.
Yes, and they had a great shot of beating
yeah.
them. And, you know, we played them tough, you know, with a minute to go in the game. It's 2016.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I think really it's not that just like Powell County is dropping out because of this or that. Other schools that are in good shape, like I said, Mason County in this district had a really good chance to beat Fleming due to the injuries that Fleming had going into this week. So, you know, it's a statewide problem. I think there was at least 10 schools now that have already opted out of the playoffs, and that's a lot when you talk about it. But, you know, when you look at the playoff money that you might get, that's cut down because of the restrictions on the gate. So there's not a lot of positives or reasons to go play when you really think in your heart you're going to lose.
I agree with you. We started talking about that, you know, how much, you know, I don't want to trade out somebody getting COVID for money, and yeah. I don't want to trade out somebody getting a broken femur for money. And if I was another type of person measuring that out, you're not going to make very much money off these playoff games.
Maybe a couple hundred bucks, right?
Right, after you pay the bills.
Yeah, I mean,
We just started weighing things out, and I made the decision. I'm sure we've got some players that I haven't heard that tonight. You know, I think they got COVID fatigue and the injuries and the disruptions, and I think they're kind of ready to move on with their life, especially our seniors, and start building these younger kids up so this don't happen again.
Yeah, I do want to take time for myself and Ken as well. Thank the football seniors for the season they gave us. They got to play a senior season. They got their senior night. They got all the festivities that go with that. So they were fortunate to get to have the season that they had. However, it was a very difficult season because of all the situations that are out there. So, again, I thank you and the seniors for the season that we had. And I'll let Ken ask you a few questions now if he has any.
Well, for me, it almost goes back to, you know, knowing what you know now, going back to the preseason. Let's just even start in July, in a sense, even August for that matter, as far as like being able to finally get together in your little pods and breakout groups. And then let's even kind of mention the first game. You know, you come back, you an incredible win against a good Prestonsburg team. You know, you showed a lot of resilience and everything. So then, but at that point, you're kind of flying high with your team. So then take me from like that point, as far as like your preseason going into that first game, and to where you are now, as far as the struggles that it's been on the team, even as far as a mental aspect, not so much the physical injuries, but just the mental aspect, as far as the ups and downs and practice, no practice, just in order to keep everybody focused game in and game out.
You know, at that point, I think we played. I think one thing that really hurt us and kind of broke our momentum, I mean, the injuries, there's just no way to overcome that, but the three-week layoff before we played Mason, which was in the middle of the season, I think that really affected us. And there was constant disruptions, either with the heat or COVID in the summer. So there was no consistency there either. I mean, it would be too hot or cases, which the cases are nothing like they are now. You know, I think back at some of the things we cut back on, I said, it's not even close to now, the way this thing is. And
all right.
And I don't know. As some of the decisions that's been made, and here we are. And I said back then, we're going to have to wash the car again, and look where we're at. We're going to have to fall back and do it. But it's been extremely tough. You know, we're all creatures of habit. You got to build routines, and it was just constant breaking those routines. And it just made it very difficult with the injuries. And, you know, we don't get injured and things continue to go on, we'd have probably been a pretty good football team.
I would definitely agree with that. I think one of the things about this team is that no matter what the score was or the circumstance, they never gave up. They had a lot of heart, a lot of grit, going out there to grind it, you know, game in and game out. And even when mistakes would be made, they bounce right back again, and, you know, we try and go forward. But I think as far as an entertainment perspective, they were fun to watch. This whole group were, you know, again, sometimes you have those turnovers, those struggles, you know, penalties or something that kind of offsets that momentum. But week in and week out, though, you could always count on them to come out and bring a lot of heart to the field to try and win, and sometimes they get in their own way in some respects, but nothing but respect for this team as far as the way that they handle themselves despite the adversities of not being able to practice. And I agree with what you said as well, as far as that long delay, that layoff, that definitely impacted the team, and it affected the girls volleyball team as well. They went through that stretch as well, where when they came back, they weren't the same team. You know, kind of they'd lost some of their momentum, even though they were able to kind of gain that back. But really, considering you had to take players and insert new players on a weekly basis, an outstanding job, really, as far as what these players were able to bring to the field.
I told them that in there that, you know, some of the things that fans and people don't see is the growth in each individual person. you know, we had a lot of players that, you know, their coping skills wasn't very, very good. You know, you try to coach them, they get, you know, upset about it. And bad things happen in the game, they get upset about it. And they just growed and growed and growed. Because if they would have, you know, been like they was, there's no way they could have come back against Prestonburg.
Sure.
Right. You know,
and they couldn't have played Fleming the way they did. You know, here's the district champs, and it's a minute to go in the game, and we're down 4 points. And, you know, that's really what we wanted to do. And successful with most of that kind of stuff, the culture stuff, didn't always transcend into more wins. But, you know, the things we've dealt with, it's just hard to win in those circles. But you know what? We those 23 kids in there, I mean, you're all winners. You're still here.
I 100% agree with everything you just said. For what these kids went through this season, with the ups and downs, with the injuries, with illness, with, you know, questions, with off practice, on practice, whatever it was, they handled it like men, and they are to be commended, as well as your staff. You guys had to go through things that, you know, and we knew this when the season started. You're going to go through things that you normally never go through, because 2020 is just a different year. This is just kind of a fluke season. You know, we go from the spring to losing baseball, softball, track, and then the questionable whether you even play or not. And then, okay, you get to play, and then now you got to cancel because things are getting a lot worse. It'll really surprise me if they just, I know they want to continue on with football. I think it's going to be tough to get to a state playoff in the middle of December.
I do too. You know, it's just the cases and stuff's out of control. And
yeah.
And you know, we're going to, you know, it's like I told somebody today that we're going to get out of this thing unscathed with nobody catching this thing. And I don't know how we did it, but we did it. And it's just amazing to me that none of us did catch it.
Well, I guess
the big thing I talk to them about is stay safe, man.
Yeah, and that they need to continue to do that, because if they want to get to back to school, or if they have another sport they play, these things have to continue to stay safe, because if the community doesn't stay safe, we don't get back to school, we don't get back to playing winter sports or spring sports, or none of that's going to happen if the people don't take safety as serious as they can.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, I don't know how we did it, but we did not have one single case. I mean, we had quarantine people because they've been around people, but
not through football.
No, never had a case in football, and had some scares, you know, coaches and everybody, and you know, we would, whoever needed to be quarantined, and then, you know, that big 3 week lapse is because we had to quarantine a bunch of players because they've been around somebody in school.
Right.
And then we had a game scheduled with Montgomery County. We thought they were coming here, and they called me on a Friday and said they're going to go ahead and play Frederick Douglass because Frederick Douglass wasn't in the red. Or,
yep.
So that caused us to sit another week. And but anyway, we get through this. We're all going to be better off and learn a lot and grow a lot. And you got to find a silver lining.
So at this point, where do you actually go now with your players? So what's kind of the next steps, and even as far as the off season, where do you go forward with these players?
Well, we're going to Monday and Tuesday, we're going to turn equipment in, and we're going to have an exit interview with each person.
I like that.
And, you know, for the seniors, it'll be different than younger kids. And, you know, it's going to be a good heart-to-heart with each one of them and tell them what they need to do and to be a better football player and student. And
so as far
I'll get their transcripts on the academic side of things and talk to them about that and what they need to do football-wise. Especially weight room is going to be a huge priority for us. So, and, you know, I want to spend some time with the seniors. We'll probably have a little fire with them. And I told them, if, you know, if they're interested in trying to play college football, I know a lot of people, get them hooked up and let them travel around and see where they want to play.
Well, I tell you what, Mike, if you would, we'll let you get off here. I know it's been an emotional night for you with the boys. But I do want to thank you and the kids, the coaching staff, and make sure you send our best wishes at WSKV for the staff here. Thank them for the season and you guys for what you all provided for us. It was interesting for sure. It was fun to watch. And again, hopefully we will do better next year. Maybe COVID will be gone and we can just kind of relax and enjoy a football season without restrictions. So again, best of luck to you and the kids. I'll let you go. If you want to say anything else to us, let you have your last moment here.
Thanks to you guys and people, Powell County, and you know, everything's been great. You know, besides all, you know, the things we've been dealing with, support and it's been a pleasurable experience. You know, besides the injuries and stuff, and getting to know the kids, and so you know, we'll get through this and go to work. And you know, I know the kids better now. Sometimes, you know, when you come in like this, you don't know how they think. You don't know the family dynamic, and that's a big deal nowadays.
Yes.
And so. But I appreciate you guys, and call me anytime, and we'll start getting to work on Monday.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
you're always
Coach.
Welcome here to call in.
All right, man. Thank
appreciate
you.
It. Right, thank you.
Again, that's Mike Jones, head football coach here at Powell County High School, and we'll step away for a break here on PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandpa. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Rose's Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. We took a little bit of extended break there to catch up a little bit on our advertising. Again, we'd like to thank our sponsors, who that's for the month of December. This is all you're going to have is Ken and I talking, and hopefully have some guests in. Just talked to one hopefully we'll have next week, Darrell Billings. Gave some information about the KTSA and some of the things that they did on border control today. Again, a lot of activity going on. We'll quickly go into some of that as well. The KTSA did their monthly meeting today, which is not a special meeting or anything, but it was their monthly meeting, and a lot of information got released today, or I guess a lot of discussion was today, and then they voted to accept some stuff, and then I guess Julian Tack and his staff will get them things ironed out. So basketball season will start January 4th. We know that is going to happen as far as the start of a season. The end date has yet to be determined. It will either be the 15th to the 22nd, we'll say it that way, or the next week. And I think the Rupp Arena is unavailable for the next weekend. Therefore, that probably won't happen the second week. So I think they may have moved it back a week, which, you know, they'll still get quite a bit of season in. Really, they're losing probably 8 games if you look at their schedule, and they could probably pick some of those back up in the winter or in January and February. And I think the district tournament, first week of March, regional tournament, second week of March, and then you roll into the state tournament. Those guys at the KTSA board are to be commended of the time they put in, because I don't care what decision they would have made today. They're not going to make everybody else happy. I do applaud their recommendations today, because I think I heard some of them talk about it today. If we start December 14th, which is one of the proposed dates, and schools were shut down, and I think they probably got a heads up on the start date of school back for high schools as January 4th, because that's when we're starting our season. They probably had a heads up before we knew today this afternoon. But I think they made a very informed decision on what to do, because the appearances would not have looked good to me if you start while schools are still shut down. Now, I think had they started back in December 14th, I would probably had a problem with it, just except for the appearances. But I would have liked to maybe have seen if they were going to start early, make it a no-fan environment, and maybe reduce it that way. And I don't think that districts would be able to maybe afford no fans for a whole month. But I'm not sure you can really do it in almost any other way locally to be able to compete.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think on one hand, too, you go back to if you did start December the 14th, you're getting close to the holidays at that point. Now what's your fans, you know, turnout in a sense? Now all of a sudden, is it more? Or is it what you would normally average, you know, under those circumstances? You know, you and I kind of talked about this earlier. So, you know, on one hand, it's tough no matter which direction you go. I think it's probably a wise choice on their part to delay it until January, because with obviously the way that the numbers are trending at this point, something has to be curtailed. Now you throw in Thanksgiving, then you throw in Christmas. At that point, if our numbers continue to go up, people are obviously going to travel during the holidays. It's just going to happen.
Even if they're asked not to.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. It's still going to happen regardless. You know, people are still going to visit family, friends. It's still going to happen. People are still doing it now as we speak. So under those circumstances, maybe you curtail it, give it an opportunity to kind of go down a downturn in a sense. And now all of a sudden we get into January, and now let's see where we are as far as any restrictions that might need to take place. Again, no matter which decision they make, whether they go forward or they don't, it's no different than in-person school, not in-person school. No matter which way you go, it's not the ideal situation that anybody is looking for, but you have to make those tough decisions. And obviously, based on the information they're getting, that's what they think is best for the student-athletes.
Hey, yeah, and I had a lot of discussion as well. The season would have regularly started next week, the basketball season we're talking about, and we had games scheduled to be on the air next week. So it affects us as well. Like I said, our sponsors, we will be doing this Wednesday night show and kind of try to spotlight athletes, coaches, some of our sponsors as well. But again, we're going to try to keep you updated as much as we can on what's going on athletically here in the state of Kentucky and here in the county, because that's who's listening to us anyway. Again, we want to thank everybody that listens to us on a Wednesday night. I know we can give you a lot of COVID information, or try to best we can. I do want to mention one other COVID restriction that was mentioned today. Households, gatherings, less than eight, but they want them all to be in the same family. And they're actually saying only one guest other than the four people who reside at that residence. So to me, and again, Governor Beshear mentioned today, this is going to be a very difficult thing to enforce. We just hope people can maybe try to do this to get the curve down. We have to break the cycle that we're in. We have to stop having in Powell County 14, 15, 30 cases a day. Whatever those numbers have been that are here in the last week or so, We have to break that trend and get back to where maybe it's one case a day. At least it's not good to even have a case a day, but now we're talking about double-digit cases every day for the last several days, or at least every other day. And, again, we've got to kind of break those cycles somehow. Again, we got Thanksgiving coming up, and I know at our family, for one, I guess there's four subsets of family members that always get together on Thanksgiving and stay about 3 or 4 days, usually at our house. And now that's going to not happen this year, because we've decided as a group, we're going to kind of share food. You can come pick it up, what you want at our place. We'll share around that way, but we're not going to have the in-person meetings. And again, people know that you love them and you're trying to protect everybody in the family, and try to do the right thing. Again, that's very difficult to do, because we really enjoy that part of the holidays, is getting together as family. Because when I think back of family time, that was the important thing, is this is how you get together as a family, and this is how you celebrate. But again, we want to have the next Thanksgiving. We want to have as much time we can with folks. So we ask you not to spread it out. Again, these things happen. Again, that's another restriction that I think Governor Beshear talked about today. And that one's going to be very difficult to enforce.
Yeah.
So, but again, I think you're seeing a lot of issues at home now with cases, and not on purpose. People are going out and maybe seeing somebody that at work, at the workplace, and you get relaxed for 5 minutes, you take your mask off, you're there for 30, and wind up positive for COVID the next couple days later. So that's where we're at. We're going to step away for another break here, come back more here with more about sports here on BCSN Live.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protect Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protect Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
And welcome back here at PCSN Live. Again, we got caught up on our break, so again, we're always glad to get our sponsors mentioned here on PCSN Live, but we do have some good news as far as some of our middle school kids.
Yeah, last week we actually talked to the cross-country team, Coach Mark Ventura. He is one of the coaches with Julie Clark, and we had some of the players, runners that we interviewed. But this is some news from some of the middle schoolers. Amelia Barnes, she placed 21st out of 233 runners, very respectable. Remember even talking to her as far as her times and everything, we'd even mentioned it, as young as she is, that her times are better than some of the older players in a sense, you know, at least at this point. And then Adam Ledford, he placed 95 out of 264 at the middle school state championship. So congratulations to both of those student athletes there, those cross country runners there. A lot of respect for them to get out and still competing. But
yeah, look at the perspective there. Amelia ran top 10% in the state, and then Adam ran top 30% in the state. So these two kids have got a good future ahead of them in cross country. And I want to, again, commend our cross country, especially the boys team, did really well competing as a team this year. And then the girls had two runners qualify for state and did rather well there as well. So, again, kudos to the cross country kids. Again, our fall sports really got their seasons in really without much drama, if you will. But we're starting to see some issues now, not with football, but during football season, we're seeing some issues now in the state that the numbers are getting high. So again, that's why the governor made his his mandates. I guess this is not a recommendation. These are mandates put out by the governor through executive order. So hopefully we can follow those. Again, if you're a high school student or middle school student, you are closed to virtual learning until...
No, closed to in-person.
Closed to in-person learning.
Make sure you're doing your virtual learning.
Until January 4th. Please keep up with your virtual learning. It's so hard to catch back up. So please stay on task. And
Don't fail.
Don't fail. Use your 2 or 3 hours a day. You should probably keep up with all your assignments. If you have issues... again, you can contact someone at the school, or we'll be calling you, one of the two. But again, you know, take care of your grades and your things like that. Elementary kids, you will be closed for in-person until at least December 7th.
Right.
So that's when hopefully you'll get back in. If we're still in Red County, then you will stay out, continue working virtual past that date. So, again, I'm sure you'll hear Dr. Orr say it better than what I just said. So he will probably come out with an off-call here pretty soon as far as that is concerned. And this all starts on Monday. But, again, that's in Powell County. We're already virtual
not in
right
person,
now anyway.
Correct.
So everything will kind of continue as normal until the dates we gave you. Again, thank everybody for their time. Hopefully next week we'll get some clarity to some of the KHSA decisions today. We'll have hopefully Daryl on here next week, who is the is the president of the
board chairperson.
Chairperson of the Board of Control. So we'll hopefully have Daryl on here to give us some more insight, especially on the winter sports and in spring sports as well. And I was just saying, as the spring sport coach, I want to thank them for making sure that they took care of the spring people, because we lost our season last year. They didn't really want to impact our season too much. And again, thanks to the board for that, or at least into consideration. And I was very grateful to all of them for thinking about the kids that lost their season last year. Didn't want to impact them again this year.
Yeah, and really for our fall sports, you know, the girls volleyball, outstanding season.
Yeah.
Didn't end quite the way that they wanted it to, but still a great season in many respects. They were able to finish theirs. Obviously, the cross-country team, a lot of success there. The football team, despite their record, despite the injuries,
still making the
despite
playoffs,
COVID and everything, you know, still made the playoffs. But definitely entertaining to watch those kids. Again, they have no reason to hang their head.
Yeah, and our,
in
our
any
soccer
way.
Teams went through a lot
soccer
of stuff
team,
with
yeah, both boys and girls.
And things like that, but they did well. Our golf team, again, we had a girl go to the state tournament this year. So, again, fall sports was a success, like it normally is
yes.
in Powell County. And hopefully that will continue through the winter. And, again, you'll hopefully get a season. It's just going to look a little differently. And we mentioned cheer as well. I think their cheer date was January. That's going to be backed up a bit as well. So, again, we'll try to get you all that information with Darrell next week. But, again, thanks for listening. Stay masked, distance, and wash those hands. We say it every week. Please do that so we can continue or try to curb this COVID virus if we can just till we get our vaccines, maybe by March or April. So stay safe, and good luck to all. Here from WSKV 104.9 FM.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. 104.